Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Thanks for joining us. For the city of Los Angeles, a third day of tension and violence. As night approaches, police and National Guard units are out in force. Federal troops are on standby. Violence in the city appeared to die down a bit today, but the toll is obvious. 37 people dead, more than 1,300 injured, more than 4,000 arrested. Damage estimate, $200 million and rising. 4,000 National Guard troops have joined the contingent of police and California Highway Patrol officers on the streets. More are on the way. A few hours ago, the man who's become the unwilling symbol of this outbreak of violence decided it was time to speak out. Rodney King appealed for peace.
I just want to say, you know, can we all get along? Can we get along? Can we stop making it horrible for the older people and the kids?
As we explore this morning the issues of tolerance and the language of civility and what we expect of others in return for our civility, we speak with Randall Kennedy, the Michael Klein Professor of Law at Harvard Law School, where he teaches courses on contracts, freedom of expression, and the regulation of race relations. He addresses that simple question from Rodney King, why can't we all get along?
I could imagine somebody making the argument that, in fact, in many respects, we're considerably more civil. Again, if we're talking about the political sphere, think about politicians and what politicians can say about an adversary's status, let's say their group status, their gender, or their sexual orientation, or their race, or their national origin. You know, not so long ago, I think it would be fairly easy to show many instances in which politicians were completely uninhibited about throwing around, for instance, slurs. And in fact, it might have been politically advantageous for them to do so. Nowadays, can politicians just willy-nilly throw around slurs? No, because it is viewed as a wrong thing to do. Public opinion has militated against that sort of thing. So, I mean, that's one instance in which I think one could make the argument that far from us becoming a less civil society, I think you could make the argument that we've become a more civil society. It's unclear. I think we'd have to really work hard at establishing real baselines before you could make a strong argument one way or another. My only point is that in the civility discourse, I think the sort of the ascendant trope is the trope of dissent. You know, things were better once upon a time, and I'm simply saying, well, no, I don't believe that. I think it's pretty unclear.
You mentioned slurs, and you were on our program many years ago talking about your book, Nigger, the complete title of the book, The Strange Career of a Troublesome Word. So when you take that word as an example of the use of it, that we could say that that personifies incivility, but in the book and in your argument, you talk about, okay, but should blacks be able to use that word that is forbidden perhaps to others?
Words are complicated things. They change over time. They change in varying circumstances. So obviously the infamous N-word can be and often is a terrible slur, a symbol of insult. And to that, you know, and when it's used in that way, of course, it should be ostracized. On the other hand, you know, words do change over time, and they can be put to all sorts of different uses. And this is a word that has been put to different uses and is being put to different uses. There's some people who use the infamous N-word as a gesture of solidarity, a term of endearment. So we have to be very careful in identifying the nature of symbols. Symbols change over time.
You make a point that this civility movement is at odds with what we should have in our society, which is intellectual clarity and an insistence upon grappling with the substance of controversies, that the idea of civility will have us shy away from voicing our true opinion on issues.
When I hear politicians in particular start talking about civility, my antenna tip go up. Because very often when politicians talk about civility, they're frankly not really interested in talking about civility. They're raising a white flag, they're under heat, they're using this opportunistically, they're using this strategically. So, I mean, I think we have to be very careful about civility talk. Oftentimes, civility talk is a way of trying to, you know, dampen down disputation. Do we often, you know, in our day-to-day lives, engage in rituals in which the main purpose is not really to be totally candid? You know, how are you this morning? I'm fine. How are you? Well, I might not feel like I'm fine. I might feel terrible. But I say I'm fine. How are you? I might not frankly be all that interested in how you are at this particular moment. But I say I'm fine and how are you? It's part of a ritual to sort of oil things, to sort of allow us to get through the difficult day. Well, we do that in our interpersonal relations. We do it in political relations, and there is a place for that. On the other hand, there's also a place for talking turkey and for sometimes, you know, really getting up in people's faces and saying things that you know will hurt their feelings. I mean, you know, abolitionists hurt the feelings of slaveholders, and thank God that they did. Hurting somebody's feelings is not the worst thing. We need to know, well, you know, what were the circumstances? Why were you attempting to hurt that person's feelings? Sometimes it's a good thing to do.
Randall Kennedy is the Michael Klein Professor of Law at Harvard Law School, where he teaches courses on contracts, freedom of expression, and the regulation of race relations. Our series, Agreeing to Disagree, Civility in Public Discourse, will continue tomorrow with Part 3, Civility, an Exercise in Getting Along. It will feature Professors Austin Surratt and David Smith, as well as your questions as we open up our phone lines for your comments. This program is funded in part by Mass Humanities, state-based affiliate of the National Endowment for the Humanities, masshumanities.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.